This is North Shore Today. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday, Veterans Day. And Rick, Veterans Day, certainly a great holiday. This is really a special one to honor our veterans, all the veterans that have served throughout the years in our country, whether they be our lessening in number World War II veterans, Korean War, just anybody serving in the military from Vietnam on. And, of course, there's so many service men and women from the past several years that to honor today. So it's a great holiday, I think, and certainly one with a lot of meaning and certainly a lot of substance as well.
Well, you know, it's like many things in that we were talking about the the opiate problem a few weeks ago and how sort of every family's been affected by it. Well, every family, I think, probably in the country has someone who has served in the armed forces at one time or another, either a close relative or a distant relative. And, you know, over the years, Bill, I used to recommend to kids who were unsure in high school, unsure about what they wanted to do, didn't know if they want to go to college, you know, weren't really ready for a job, I'd recommend they go into the armed forces. And some did, some didn't. And I would get nervous about that recommendation during wartime when we were in conflicts with people. But nevertheless, people now with the all-volunteer service, make that choice. It's a decision that they make on their own or with their families. And it's quite a thing. The fact that we do have so many people who have served the country, who have volunteered to be in the armed forces, and in many, many cases to go into harm's way. And I remember my dad, who was an Iwo Jima survivor and then did three tours of duty in Vietnam, never talked about combat. But the one thing he did mention, especially about World War II, was that he and the people he served with at that time always talked about wanting to make a better life for the next generation. And, you know, they did that. And what was it, Brokaw called it the greatest generation? You know, my generation had it fairly comfortably. And for that, we are very appreciative.
No, absolutely. And that greatest generation. Yeah, my dad was a part of that as well, and still around. And and there's less and less of the greatest generation. And the number of those stories you talk about, the veteran stories and so on. My best friend, I think their father, his brother, died in World War II, and very early in the war, I from what I understand. And then, sure enough, the next day he goes and enlists, and I think he was underage at the time, and you could do those things, I guess, back in that time, and went on and fought in World War II, and thank God came back alive, and obviously raised the family that I knew, and it just there were a lot of heroic stories, and I think that there are very few professions, I think, where you really have legitimate heroes. And but the military, you do have a bunch of heroes, and these stories are remarkable. And I guess not everyone that's in the service is a hero, so to speak, but or does heroic things. But they put themselves out there to be in that position, and you can't ask anything more of anybody than that, I don't think.
And I think there's a trend to try to make it better for those who have been traumatized in the service, and that's been an uphill climb, I think, for the last 50 or 60 years, because we've read about and seen about the different ways that the post-traumatic stress has been handled. It used to be called, shell shock? And then in World War II, those guys refused to talk about stuff, and it took its toll. But now with all the advances in medicine and technology, it's gotten better. But there are still many veterans who have been traumatized and, have great needs. And hopefully that people will continue to work at that and try to help these people out.
Yeah. The other story I guess a lot of folks might be talking about today is the Republican debate. They had another debate last night in Milwaukee, this time with eight candidates on the stage, and relatively tame affair, I thought, last night with the candidates. Thought it was a very, very informative debate. The moderators were not the story in this debate last night, and I think that if you were a fan of any one of those candidates, you'd say, well, my guy did pretty well. So I'm not sure that the debate moves the needle for anyone in particular. But, I think one of the big stories, I suppose, out of this is that Donald Trump has kind of changed his act, this bombastic kind of bursting on the scene candidate, saying anything to anyone, kind of has toned it down a little bit in these debates, the last couple of debates, and did so again in last night's debate in Milwaukee. But again, as being the front runner, I think he did what he needed to do. And like I said, I think that the that format allowed a lot of candidates to get out and say the things that they wanted to say and discussed a lot of economic issues. And, you know, Hillary Clinton was attacked a few times, as you might expect, but not as many maybe as you might expect, to be honest with you, to be quite honest with you. So it was a debate that, again, I'm not sure that it moves the needle up and down for a lot of different candidates. A lot of folks are watching Jeb Bush, and I thought Jeb Bush did okay last night in the debate, but again, he didn't have that that home run, that fastball down the middle to knock out of the park, and I think he needs about three or four of those pitches to get back into the game. From what you look, if you believe the polls, and why wouldn't you? I guess. So
sorry to interrupt, Bill. This communication thing here, I'm never quite sure when to jump in. As a person who I'm totally undecided, both sides. And so far, and it's early, I mean, you know, it's early on, but I find these so-called debates, they're not really debates, they're just open forum. I find them uninspiring. I mean, you know, Trump was, as you say, a little bombastic, and Carson has this persona of the quiet demeanor, which really scares me. That anybody can deliver a line like that and say the things he says. But Trump scares me, too, on the one hand. And on the other side, you know, the Hillary, the Clinton-Bush thing scares me. I mean, I just find all of this so uninspiring. And I have a feeling, and I'm probably 100% wrong, because I'm the guy who said, who would ever want to take a picture with a telephone years ago? I think someone is going to emerge next year, maybe after Iowa, someone's going to emerge on one side or the other, or both sides perhaps, who isn't even in the picture right now. And it's just a feeling I have, because as you said, the needle hasn't moved on the Republican side. And on the Democrat side, there's just not much coming out at this particular time. So I think there's going to be someone coming totally out of the, down the home stretch, who was way in the back of the pack at one time.
Yeah. And I think that that would be, that would not be a surprise, to be honest with you. I think one of my cardinal rules is that expect the unexpected, and I think that's what you're kind of saying as well. Because if you looked at this race 8 years ago, everyone again thought it was Hillary Clinton's to win. And no one really thought Barack Obama would have a chance. And even as you march through some of the early primaries, still folks did not really think Barack Obama would be the Democratic nominee. And I still think, I don't know what's going to happen with Hillary Clinton and some of her problems. But, that is a huge wild card out there, because there's another story yesterday on the FBI investigation of her and, whether that's going to move forward. And if that does, in fact, move forward, and if, in fact, that, something happens along those lines to her, that just shakes up the race, and who's there to fill the void? Bernie Sanders, and I'm not so sure that the Democrats wouldn't then try to run somebody else into the picture, as they might have thought of doing with Joe Biden, a month or so ago. So, I think those are some wild cards, and you're right. I think that that we have to think that since this, here's what has to happen is that are the Republicans, the people that go out and vote in the primaries, are they going to when are they going to make up their mind? Because they have to make up their mind. And what happens is, I think, is this willowing out process throughout the primaries. And the question is this going to be a legitimate process that people are going to be filtering out once the primaries and caucuses begin? Or is it going to be happening in the next few months? And I don't know. I think that here's the issue here is that this now we're in the middle of November, believe it or not, and people are going to go into the holiday mode. So all of a sudden you're going to lose like 6 weeks, I think. We're going to come back to this on January 1. It's hard to believe that this is going to happen. And when you come back to this on January 1, all of a sudden these Iowa caucuses and New Hampshire primary are not all that far away. So we'll see, and maybe people will kind of reset, and some people will get a bounce out of this as people kind of know they have to make up their minds, at least on the Republican side.
And the one thing I noticed on television yesterday, I noticed that Jeb Bush has saturated the Boston stations with commercials, or whoever's backing Jeb Bush. And looked like it came primarily out of Florida, and that it was PAC, you know, political action groups supporting him, and Republican legislators supporting him, and so on. But then there was one spot that Bush does, and I was taken by surprise in the fact that it was very positive. It was a very positive thing, talking about its accomplishments and about what he wanted to do. And I don't remember seeing anything like that in the last 15 years or so. Then I saw one for Bernie Sanders, and the one that made me laugh is the fact they said, well, people are fed up with the Washington establishment. And I'm saying, well, look who's saying that, you know, the Washington establishment. So I just wonder, you know, if this is going to hold up, as you say, and all of a sudden we're going to blink, and yeah, the caucus will be here, the primary will be here. And I still think, you, on one side or the other, or both, there's going to be someone coming right out of the blue that's going to take over.
Right, I would say so too. I think one of the things is that again, Donald Trump is kind of the wild card here, and in the sense that you know, I believe what happens here is, having done a little bit of the behavioral political polling kind of piece in my earlier years, that there's a lot of name recognition with Donald Trump. You don't have a network show such as The Apprentice and not have huge name recognition around the country. Not that I was a fan of that show, but yet a lot of folks did watch that show, and they know who Donald Trump is, not just Donald Trump the businessman, but they know him from the television show on NBC, because it's one of the major channels. And so there's a lot of name recognition there, and the question is somebody else going to come up, be able to be that other candidate and right now, I guess, you know, I'm looking at a picture of the eight of them that were on the stage, and you know, I don't know who that other candidate is. I think Jeb Bush thought it was going to be him, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So it could be Marco Rubio that is that other candidate.
Well, you know, it's funny. My wife said, well, the guy I like, was he there last night? And I said, well, who is it? And she said, well, I don't remember his name, but I like him. So I got a picture. I think it was Rand Paul. She, yeah, that's the guy. That's the guy. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. Name recognition. And when you were talking about that, Bill, I thought, geez, to be back in college, boy, I would imagine Ronald Reagan and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Remember when, you know, they were big names? But they were big names before they became politicians. So, yeah, there is a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, and I think that you know, a lot of folks are looking at the Ronald Reagan comparison to this election, in the sense that Ronald Reagan in 1976 ran for the nomination, and then Gerald Ford was the acting president at that time, and gave him a pretty good battle in the primaries. But Ford came out on top, being the incumbent president, albeit not elected as either vice president or president, coming in for Richard Nixon and Spiro Agnew. But he paid his dues and came back in 1980 and won the nomination. And I think that folks are looking at that model and saying, well, you know, this is, you know, some of these guys have been out there before, and looking at the kind of campaign that Reagan won and the way that he framed issues, and that rather than maybe the way that Mitt Romney did it the last few years. Of course, Romney used that same kind of thing running 4 years prior to actually the year that he won the nomination. So you kind of have to put yourself out there a few times to do this now. And so I'm just looking at that field, and I guess Jeb Bush would be the one that, you know, he didn't run before, but he certainly has the name recognition that would be like running before.
Well, the ABBA song, Money, 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 just popped into my head when you said, you know, you run four years before you really run. So, you know, that's it. It's the money game. But, yeah. It's gonna be fun the next year or so. We got to get Josh to get some experts on for us and sort this whole thing out.
Yeah. So again, I thought that if you looked at the performance of all the candidates that were out there, I thought they probably, again, if you were supporting one of those particular candidates, you probably said to yourself, you know, my guy did pretty well, you know, and yet, you know, I'm not sure that the needle moved too much. But again, I guess if I were to pick somebody up there, that, you know, here's what has to happen. People have to move from one person to another in this Republican field, because, so, you know, you got to build yourself up. You don't need to have 50% of the vote right now. You don't need 50% of the vote in February or March, but by about April, you need to get 50% or more of the vote in those Republican primaries to win, because the field's going to get smaller and smaller. So the question is, who's everybody's second choice? And A lot of folks were saying Donald Trump is not the people's second choice, but you know, I don't know that. You know, so you know, he's still going to be the guy to beat. And you know, I'm just I Ben Carson is an interesting story, and I think he actually had probably a pretty good couple of weeks here, despite these controversies about his background. But sometimes that helps a person in the Republican primary, these challenges from the so-called mainstream media. But again, I guess if I were to watch somebody that might be on the rise, my pick might be Marco Rubio. We'll see what happens.
Okay. All right. Moving on.
All right. Moving on. What do you got going on? Anything?
A couple of quick stories, Bill. One from the Salem News today. I didn't know it. I don't know what's going to happen with the rain. I think the Veterans Day ceremonies on Wednesday today will have to be moved indoors. But there is a new memorial over at the St. Mary Cemetery that's going to be unveiled. Overlooking the Danvers River, it's a tall granite monument to veterans, and it will be unveiled today, I believe. It's supposed to be unveiled at 10 o'clock, but again, with the weather, they must have contingency plans in the paper. But at 10, veterans, public officials, and Catholic leaders are supposed to gather to pay homage to those who have served, and the unveiling of this beautiful monument over at St. Mary's Cemetery, which is a tribute not only to those who have passed away, but also to those who are, you know, are still serving. And then kind of a strange article from the Gloucester Times that I've just lost. It just went away. But apparently there was a woman who was found unresponsive in a public restroom in Rockport, and she passed away on Sunday. There really aren't any details to it, but the Rockport police are indicating it was no foul play and no danger to the public. She was found in a beach bathroom, I believe it is, on the public restroom. Let me see where it is. At Front Beach, it says. Let me see. I found it. Public restroom at Front Beach. At Sunday at approximately 11:30 a.m., the Rockport Police Department and EMS responded to 7 Beach Street to the women's public bathroom at Front Beach for a medical emergency. And Massachusetts State Police responded and are still investigating. The woman is not being identified at this time, and no more information was available to the Gloucester Times, but it's kind of a strange story, and you know, there should be a follow-up to that at some point.
Yep. Okay. Are we going to want to go to sports, or is there another news story there?
No, just one other thing is that I know that Gloucester, their Veterans Day thing, and this probably will be posted after the fact, but they go inside. They'll be inside at Gloucester High School at 9 o'clock today. All this stuff will take place inside. They've always had that backup plan. Yeah, let's go to sports, Bill. What's up?
All right, just very quickly, our football weekend. We've got the St. Mary's Greater Lowell game coming up on Friday night, MIAA playoff game from Manning Field and Lynn. We'll also look to do the Gloucester-Winthrop game from Gloucester on Friday night. And Marty Smith will be on hand in Marblehead for the Marblehead-Danvers game. That's probably the biggest game on the North Shore on Friday night. And unfortunately, again, as we've been saying the last few weeks, we just can't. There's no place for people to do a football game from Marblehead. You know, radio or TV people at this point. So we're not able to do that. Otherwise, I think that's probably where we'd want to be, or at least one of our games for sure. We'd want to be there on Friday night. But those are the games that we'll have reports on that game throughout the night on Friday night, and of course information on that game over the weekend as well. But so we do have. Those are the football games, and of course, there's a lot of those non-playoff football games as well to be following.
And we need one more win out of the conference. Danvers, Marblehead, whoever wins that game are going to play. That team will play a week from Friday as well, on the 20th, from what I understand, and they'll play Division III South or whatever it is, and it's Melrose or someone like that, whoever's involved there. But it is on the website. Finally, Ben Goodhue, assistant coach over at Beverly High School, messaged me the other day and explained that to me. And so there is one more game to go before Foxborough. So we have to we got to really root for Danvers or Marblehead, whoever emerges on Friday night, to win the following Friday so that we can get down to Gillette again. It's been a few years since we've been there.
And also there are a number of different tournament soccer games being held today at Manning Field on this Veterans Day. So if you are interested in something like that, check out the MIAA website or the newspapers or whatever. I believe there's a number of different games scheduled there throughout the day, and I assume those will all go because of the artificial turf and so on. So and enjoy the tournament soccer as well as the other sports, and we'll be gearing up and following that as we come down the home stretch for those sports and girls, boys, soccer, field hockey, and so on, and volleyball as well in the next few days. Anything else, Richard?
Well, I'm just trying to think here. No, I think that's it. It's been a really great fall season so far, and as I said, I'm just hoping we get back to Foxborough. We will have some more information coming up on our North Shore Players of the Month, sponsored by Moynihan Lumber. That'll be coming up, I'm sure, in the not-too-distant future. And also, Friday, we have another interesting program. I don't think Josh is going to be here Friday. I think I'm taking it over on Trending Now on Friday at 10 a.m. But we should have a lot of interesting interviews as well. It's been great so far. Josh has gotten some really terrific interviews from all over the North Shore.
Right. All right, so that's Trending Now with Josh Arnold. That's Friday morning at 10 o'clock, and then the show's posted for folks to listen to. You can certainly email us at any time at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, same address, and on Facebook as well. And with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for being with us on this Veterans Day 2015 here on msonewsports.com, here on North Shore Today.